Our scripture, again, is not updated correctly, as oversight on your pastor's part. But we will be using a scripture, just not Matthew. We will be using Isaiah. Isaiah 64, 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. Who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. You are the clay, and we are the clay, and you are our potter. You are all the work of We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. I kept trying to reverse the pronouns in there. God was the clay with completely messes that up altogether, so I had to correct myself. I apologize, although I do find humor in my mistakes. So our passage from Isaiah today comes from what in the Wesley Study Bible, and I guess other commentaries as well, speaks of as a part of this lengthy lament that begins back in 63, actually chapter 63, verse 7, and ends a few verses after what we just read in 64:12. And this week, as I was preparing for this morning, I noticed I had used the beginning of this lament, 63:7-9, which I'll read for you, for a message I gave just before New Year's of 2020. And let me go back and read that real quick. It says in 63:7-9, it begins, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of God, of the Lord, because all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And so that was our passage from, I guess that would have been the final week of 2019. It would have been, you know, so I delivered that, or I put together a message for that Sunday, the 29th of 2019, right before New Year's. And I actually opened that message then with the words, whether in troubled times or those of great blessing, we need to remember that God is good all the time. And then I said, we are often too quick to forget all that God has done for us. Now, looking back, and we've just celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday, and you know, my wife was up here talking about, for the first time in our 23 plus years together, that she doesn't like turkey. I had no idea. But, you know, the importance of the message wasn't about the turkey, right? It was about those little things that come along with our faith, right? Those things, the big things of our faith are what holds us and grounds us, but it's those little things that continue to encourage us. Well, this year, when we look back and I think about God is good all the time, there wasn't a whole lot as a collective community we can think about of that really happened to good, I guess, in 2020. We've been under the threat of this pandemic for most of the year. And in fact, when I gave this, like I said, this message about that at the very beginning last December, early January, COVID-19 was barely on my radar. I think there might have been a few news accounts in the worldwide news about something going on in Wuhan. And you really kind of didn't hear anything about it. And then all of a sudden, March, there, you know, it's more in the forefront. We have a full shutdown, not just here in the U.S., but worldwide. Countries are closing, not only for travel, but they're asking people to stay home. This goes on for several months here in the U.S., and it still goes on here and there in several of the communities around the world. And I don't know that when I was giving that message or thinking about the beginning of this lament of Isaiah, that we were expecting to have this pandemic come in such a way. But that's been the reality for us, right? 2020 has brought along with it several challenges, not just challenges of how we stay safe and how we continue to go out into the workplace and take care of providing for our families or taking care of loved ones. But there's also this threat of not trying to get sick ourselves, right? We're trying to stay healthy. We're trying to stay clear of the pandemic. We have seen people in our communities impacted, families and loved ones that we know being infected, some of those harder than others, millions and millions of people worldwide, and several of those have not survived. And this has been the reality of our entire year, 2020. Here we are at the end of 2020, and like I said, this kind of bookends, this lament kind of bookends the what we've been dealing with. And when we think about that, there's not a lot here that sounds very excitable either, right? Like, so here we're talking about, or the Isaiah is talking about having God come down, tear open the heavens and come down. And as our Advent liturgy talked about, it is quite the time where we really do need that, right? We need God's presence more than ever in our lives. And I think the thing that we forget, and I'm just as guilty as any of the rest of you, is that God is present every day of our lives. God is here for us, even in the midst of what we're facing now, right? So like I said, whether troubled times or those of great blessing, we need to remember that God is good all the time. God is working as well. God is working for us through this, although we may be crying out for this to come to an end. I wish I could just say it's over tomorrow and we can go back to what we consider normal lives, but that's not going to be the case. In fact, this may impact us far beyond next year, even the next months and weeks and months to come and into the next couple of years. There are side effects of those who have been recovering from the pandemic that we find out that they're still struggling with, you know, shortness of breath and just other things that we may not know how all that is going to impact them in the days to come. All these things go along with who we are as Christians today as well, because we have to still respond to those who are in need, right? We've been talking about how do we respond and say yes to God, and how do we serve God, and how do we love God? Well, all those things come through how we love others and how we serve others. So 2020 comes with its challenges, yes. It came with its challenges, excuse me. Those are going to go into the next year. And we need to figure out ways to continue to, I don't want to say adapt, but that's what it is, right? We need to adapt to how we can continue to share our faith with others. All the things that I've been talking about come with some kind of negative outcome or some kind of dim future. But the reality is there's a lot to be thankful for. This is Thanksgiving time, after all, the beginning of Advent. And there is one verse here that gives us a lot of hope, right? In number 8, at least I see that points to hope. Verse 8 says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Isaiah here is telling, reminding the people who are listening, his audience, that in the midst of all the turmoil they were facing right there, this returned community of Israelites who have come back from exile and are now here and or there, I should say. And all around them, their temple is still not built. And there are things going on that from the Samaritans and the Moabites and all the communities that were there while they were gone, who may not welcome them back to see their community come now and be flourishing again. Usually that comes at some cost to those who are inhabiting the place, right? So I can see where they are facing this opposition from their neighboring communities. They are facing opposition with being able to work together. We here are facing a lot of those same oppositions, right? We are facing opposition in the world around us with what is going on, how different countries may be responding to the pandemic, and how we as United States or Americans are responding as well. And those don't always line up. But God is there for us. God is continuing to work for us and through us. And it is that work that we see in this verse, that God has created us exactly for this moment. God has created us to be here to do the things that God has called us to do. And again, how do we do that? Well, we say yes to God every day by saying yes to Jesus and then getting up and doing things that God calls us to do, where we share our love for others by loving God and doing that by loving others, right? And what does that mean? What does that service look like? Well, this year it's been challenging, hasn't it? But we've modified how we deliver our food at the labor of love. We've modified how we are delivering more of that food instead of having people come and stand in line. Right? We're asking them to stay in their cars and try to stay distant. Even our worship service in person, we're socially distanced by families. We're keeping ourselves at bay, if you will, so that we don't hurt one another. And that's very counterintuitive to the Christian community as we have known it. But it is what we do. It is the challenge that we now accept and that we continue to fight through in our response, right, to say yes to God. And as we continue to think about what these changes we're already have adapted to, what those changes may be, right, like technology, for example, we're using Zoom technology, right? And here's something to be thankful for. I have a family in California, and now through Zoom and the conference call that we have weekly, I get to see my sister just about every week. Before the pandemic, I saw her about once every few years. Hi, Deb, if you're watching. Anyway, it's been a blessing to get together with her and discuss the Bible and discuss what it means to us and figure out what God is asking of us from those scriptures. How do we apply those to our lives? That was not something that we did pre-pandemic, but something I'm very thankful for that has happened this year. The other thing that we've done is we started using technology and having FaceTime calls and calls in general just to get together and have family game night playing on the Switch. And my kids at home will get their Switch and get on the internet online, and then they'll friend each other, and then they start playing Mario Kart or Overcooked 2, I think, is the new one that I'm terrible at as well. I'm no good at Mario Kart, by the way, or the Overcooked, or any of the games. I'm probably the worst. The only people I can probably beat, and I'm going to say this now that she's here and present, I said, in the first service too, is Kim. But that's only because she doesn't really want to play. She likes to watch everybody else play and just talk and get, you know, she serves us while it's funny. She does all the things that we are too lazy to just get up and go get a glass of water. She'll go get it for us, all those things. And she'd rather do that and watch the fun that everybody's having. And then, so that might be the only person I can beat on any of those Switch games. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this opportunity to get to know my cousins, my children to get to know their cousins, and for me to get to know my niece and nephew just a little bit better, a little bit closer. And it's what we've had to do. It's the challenge that we faced because our plans were canceled this summer, as many people's travel plans were canceled. But we're thankful because even despite the distance of 1,800 plus miles, we're closer now than maybe we ever have been. And that's a wonderful thing. That's God at work, right? That's God working through us to do the things that we need to do, or to help us do the things, excuse me, that we need to do to stay connected. And it's a wonderful thing that to be a part of and to see. But just because we say yes to God doesn't mean life's easy, right? So these challenges that we have this year, they've been ongoing, to say the least. We have work, right? I can only think of this one thing that's pending right now in my life, and it's this: we have a lot of things to get ready to at our house that we're trying to put on the market. And as we prepare for this move and we're doing these things, like, it's just like one thing after another. And, you know, we didn't go into that buying that house with the thought of, oh, you know, 20 years from now, we're going to have all this work that we're going to look forward to do when we get ready to sell this thing. No, that's not it. But it is the reality. And we thought we did a lot of stuff to keep up the house and upgrade the house. But boy, there's just so many things when you start looking at it. But does that mean it's not worth the work? Not at all. It is definitely worth it. And that's the thing, right? The challenges we have on how we now serve this community, the things that are going to be challenging for us as we go forward, whether it's improving our technology or not, the things that we do and how we say yes to God may change, but that doesn't mean our response changes. Our response should always still be yes to God. How we figure out that and saying yes, that's up to us to do, right? The next several months, as I said, maybe perhaps all of next year and beyond, we will continue to be challenged to change how we do things during this pandemic. How we do things safely, right? Our sporting events, our connection, our ability to come together and be in present and in-person worship, all of these things will continue to be challenged, and how we overcome those is going to be where we can continue to say yes to God. It's how we will be able to say we are here and we are part of this community. When I think about what that means for us and where we can go and at this time anyway, as we begin our Advent journey, right? This journey, as we prepare ourselves for when we can remember Jesus' birth, right? And literally God, we can imagine God tearing open the heaven and coming down. I challenge us to look forward with that same hope that we had as little ones, the little ones that are here with us today. When we first heard these stories as children, right? The hope that we had. When we first said yes to Christ to become a part of our life. That hope that we had then. I pray that we continue to have that hope as we go forward. That's the hope that we can speak about or think about this week as we've lit our Advent candle, as we have looked at this verse and we think, or this verse in particular, 64:8, and think about what it means to be the clay. To know that God is ever working on us, using life experience to shape us, to mold us, to prepare us for the next opportunity to say yes. That's a God who is with us, a God who is present to us. That's a God where the mountains quake. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.